Moxis, a well-known Indian in Madunkuk, was the leader of the raiding party that did the killing. Only a year previous, the old Indian was at Sebastian Heinrich's farm trading furs for goods that he could not produce, like flour, cloth, molasses, and powder and shot. Not far from Sebastian Heinrich's cabin, the old Indian was on his way home when he broke through the ice while trying to cross a frozen creek. He was within shouting distance, and Sebastian Heinrich heard his call and came running to the rescue. He bent over a young poplar sapling tree and pointed directly at the drowning victim. Moxis grabbed the treetop with such vigor that it broke off, but he was able to grab at it again and hold on. Sebastian Heinrich kept shouting to him,
"I am here! I am here! Come to me! Come to me! You can make it!"
He could see that Moxis was struggling to hold on with the cold, half-frozen stream water pulling him down with the current. He bravely stepped onto the ice to show Moxis that he was not afraid and would risk his own life to save it. But still, the brave warrior was panicking. So Sebastian Heinrich said a quick prayer, stepped out into the rushing water, almost up to his neck, and grabbed hold of Moxis.
"I gotcha."
When he finally got the half-drowned Indian to the bank of the creek in safety, he told Sebastian Heinrich that,
"You are a great white brother. Through all times, I've always been in debt to you for save Moxis' life."
The scoundrel professed much gratitude, and he and other Indians pretended much friendship. The tribe placed a large stone where Moxis fell through the ice. Thereafter, each time a member of the tribe passed that spot, they placed a small stone on the bigger one as a reminder of the rescue of their chief that day. Sebastian Heinrich had a lingering cough that lasted for years as a personal reminder of his selflessness.
All time must have run out. And that Indian Moxis had a very short memory.
At this time, knowing the Indians were in the neighborhood, most of the people fled for safety to the fort. But the Knaus family was very confident that no harm could be done to them, and they chose to remain at their farm. These stories were true, and they were about real people, not just made up. Some of these people were known to the community that Sebastian Heinrich and his family lived with. He had a friendly relationship with his Indian neighbors. He had a coal mine on his farm, and he shared it with the Indians and taught them how to use it. Many times he went hunting and fishing with them. They always helped during harvest time, and they all shared in the bounty. The Indians brought fresh game like wild turkey, plenty of venison meat, and they ate a meal together. Ludwig Knaus, Sebastian Heinrich's father, had been driven out of his native homeland by invaders from other countries that persecuted them because they followed the teachings of Martin Luther. Germany was so chaotic that for many, their only hope lay in work and prayer. These pietistic religious sects were very appealing because of the salvation they offered. Whether they did it unknowingly or did not want to face the fact, now they were doing the same thing to the Native Americans in their homeland. And the colonies found themselves at war with the Indians. Native Americans joined forces with the French, and battles were waged on Pennsylvania's western frontier during the French and Indian War. The Germans brought with them to America a rich religious tradition. Many Germans were farmers and led simple lives. They valued hard work and piety, and created sects named after honored leaders. The Schwenkfelders took their name from Caspar Schwenkfelder. The Mennonites took their name from Menno Simmons. The Amish took their name from Josh Ammon. The Harites were named after Christian Hare. After Martin Luther challenged the Catholic Church in 1517, the movement he started gained a large number of German supporters, particularly those who were financially repressed. Germans flocked to Pennsylvania to escape warfare. The 30 Years' War had ravaged Europe. And for many Germans, the only way to escape it was to flee to the colonies. Before European settlement, Pennsylvania was inhabited by many native tribes, including the Erie, Oniassant, Huron, Iroquois, especially Seneca and Oneida, Lenni Lenape, Munsee, Shawnee, Susquehannock, and unknown others. Thousands of Germans settled in Pennsylvania, making up one-third of the population. They mostly settled in the interior counties of Northampton, Berks, Lancaster, and Lehigh. These immigrants brought with them a strong farming background, and they helped convert the wilderness into a rich farming community. The Knaus family, along with many other families, were drawn to Pennsylvania for farming, industry, trading, and learning that were all characteristics of the colony started by William Penn. King Charles II of England owed $80,000 to Admiral Sir William Penn. The king paid off the debt by granting his son, also named William, the territory of Pennsylvania and naming it in honor of his father, the Admiral. Penn made a treaty with the Lenni Lenape to purchase his grant of land from them, even though there was no law requiring him to do so. The treaty's duration was for
as long as water flows and the sun shines and grass grows.
Penn and Tamenend, Lenni Lenape chief, exchanged wampum belts under the Shackamaxon elm tree in Philadelphia. Penn encouraged immigration to his colony by offering
30 shillings per acre and shares of 5,000 acres for 100 pounds.
Countless Europeans were persuaded by these lavish terms to migrate to America. William Penn printed flyers advertising his colony in the English, German, and Dutch languages. Ludwig Knaus, along with many other Mennonites, immediately responded by migrating to America. Their agent, Francis Pastorius, went to Pennsylvania and founded Germantown, a colony for the German immigrants. Bringing Germans to America soon became a profitable business, and after 1717, Germans were brought to Pennsylvania in masses. They created a prosperous farming culture as well as a diverse religious culture. The Native American homeland was transformed into very prosperous farmland during the colonial period. Wheat and corn were most abundant, but rye, hemp, and flax were also grown where the Indians had lived for centuries free from European invaders. Industries like sawmills and grist mills sprang up along the numerous streams, taking advantage of the many natural resources that Pennsylvania's Indian population relied on for survival. These streams were now the lifeline of trade, providing quick access to the inland, and they were key to the shipbuilding industry that flourished along the coast.